Well, good morning. Y'all sound like you're about half asleep out there this morning. I was thinking, all these things that were great being said, and I was like, amen, amen, and I was like, somebody out there? So, I like a participation, right? So, let's try this. Praise God. Let's everybody say, praise God. One, two, three. Okay, that's better. Let's try one more time. One, two, three. Okay. There we go. Maybe if I did it right. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to just share what I believe is your heart for your children, those that love you and call you Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for fresh anointing that can only come from you, Lord, to fill this place, Lord, to wash over me. Lord, I pray that my communication would be clear and precise, Lord, and straight from your throne room. Lord, I pray that you'd open ears and hearts to receive everything that you have for us today, and that, Lord, we wouldn't just leave with another good message, but, Father, we'd leave with something that we can actually use in our life that will make changes for our life. And we just give it all to you and say, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm already off my notes, so that's good. who was here the first time I preached on mosaics? Okay, so you're going to get a little refresher, but for those that weren't here or missed it, I just wanted to cover a couple little things that I talked about 2 weeks ago. One is, what is a mosaic? It's a surface decoration made by inlaying small pieces of various colored materials to form pictures or patterns. And then I said three ways that we relate to mosaic. One is that no two are alike, so none of us are alike. We're unique in all our ways. We have our own thumbprints. We have our own fingerprints. We have our own DNA. There's none of us alike. That's the same way with a mosaic. The original design and purpose changes. So just in case you missed all my stuff last week, I just wanted to give you a little here. So you got a plate here. What do we do with a plate? We eat on it. But when something in life happens, maybe it's the enemy, maybe it's just circumstances of living in a fallen world, but boom, we found ourselves shattered and broken on the floor. That's the only thing I'm shattering today. What do we do? We take those broken pieces, we try to put them back together. So when collected, all these pieces are collected back together, it can become a masterpiece with great value. Now, there are two ways that we can put our pieces back together. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. One is my way, the world's way, where we try to get all kinds of help, and I'm not against help, but we go to God last. And there's God's way. And I believe that God's way is the best way. Let go and let God. And that's kind of where I stopped it last week, except for our key scripture was 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. So can we all agree that God's way is the best way to put our shattered lives back together? Amen. So this week, when I was praying, Bob still wasn't feeling quite great, and so I was like, well, I think I have another message. And he was like, really? And I go, yeah. I said, I think that God wants to tell people how to get in agreement with his way of putting our lives back together. How many of you have experienced a shattered life? How many of you have experienced, and it's not always a death, it's not always sudden, but it is shattering, right? And it may seem different to each and every one of you, but I know I have just recently when I preached this message, the day before I started working on this message, boom, that hammer came and shattered. And I was like, well, you wouldn't know I'd be preaching on this. And that's how the enemy works. He uses those things that he can just make us feel like all our hope is gone. Amen? So today I want to talk about how we get in agreement with God's way. First, we look up. Let me just tell you, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I don't know how you make it out of a shattered life. I really don't. So as Christians, as Christ followers, we need to look up. Because here's the truth, you are not alone. You never were alone. He was there when the hammer came. He was there when the shattering took place. He was there every time. And you're not alone. You're not walking through it alone. And so look up to God. You're not alone. I know Psalm 16:8 says, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. So if we know God is with us, then we don't have anything to fear, and we don't need to feel hopeless. The second thing is God comforts. How many of you have felt God's comfort in those kind of times? He's not like a comforter that, has anybody ever had a comforter that's like too small? Like you get in, you're trying to wrap around in it, but your feet are hanging out here, or something's exposed and it's still cold. God's not like that, ever. The Holy Spirit, his comfort, it just envelops you. And he loves you. And he will always be there to comfort you. God also protects us. Think of times when life-shattering times happen. Go back and think of times when God has walked you through, when he's protected you. I know when I was 3 years old, I got hit by a car. And I mean, it split my head from here to here. I should have been dead. My parents weren't home. But God protected me. He sent somebody to get me to a hospital. And I'm still here, kicking and preaching as much as I can. So remember those times when life-shattering things happen. God is faithful. He's always faithful. Remember, he has been faithful in the past. And again, start remembering what he's done in the past for you. God is also trustworthy. His ways are not our ways. I wish they were sometimes. I'm like, God, I think this would be a better way. But you know what? He knows the best way. He is the master crafter. He's the creator of all things, and he knows how it all fits together to create something good. Amen? His ways for us don't always seem like they're the best way, but I can guarantee you from all the years that I've walked with him, they are. And then also, God, find the God of peace. In the midst of your chaos, you know, sometimes it just feels like a storm has just hit us. Like the other day I was watching this storm roll in. It was just black as it could be, and it was coming straight at us. It was actually a really weird looking storm. It was just like, it looked like we were going to get tons of rain, but it just like, it, I guess it was a cold front, because it just like moved in on top and it was all dark, you know, and I was like, a storm's coming. A storm's coming. You ever have that feeling? A storm is coming. But in the middle of a storm, you can find God's peace. No matter how chaotic it is, if you look up, you will find God's peace. And there's nothing like God's peace. God has a plan. He is the master creator of all things, including you and me. And his plan is good. I know sometimes it doesn't always feel like it's good, but it's good. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope." And these are scriptures that you should take pictures of. You should memorize them, because when times, when the devil's lying and telling you things in your ears and you're hearing all the chaos and you're hearing all the negativity, you need to have scripture to fall back on and go, no, that's not what God's word says. We have got to stand on the word of God, church, or we're going to, you know, if we allow the enemy to bring doubt that the word of God is truth and that the word of God is inspired by him, then we're going to be on shaky ground, because we have nothing to stand on. But we've got to believe that the word of God is true. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name, even when I walk through the darkest valley." And sometimes they can feel like you can't breathe. The shattering is so bad that it feels like, oh, I can't breathe. Even though we walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. No matter how I feel, no matter what my feelings say, you got to go back to know that God is with you. Look up in those darkest times. "I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies." Even when you feel like enemies are all attacking you and coming all at you, you don't know, you just remember that God is preparing a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely the goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Not some of the days of my life, but all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Look up. God is with you. That's the first thing you need to do. Everybody put one finger up and go, look up. That actually will help you. Look up. The second thing we need to do is identify the enemy. Now, this is key. Number two is identify the enemy. Because if we think that the people around us that are attacking us or the things that are attacking us are the enemy, we are normally wrong. So, excuse me. The devil, Satan, is the one that's out to kill, steal, and destroy your life and your destiny. If he can't kill you, if he can't physically take your life, then he wants to stop your ministry, the destiny that God has for you. He doesn't want you to be able to share your testimony with other people, so he'll do anything and everything he can to stop that. That's the enemy, not what you see in the flesh. Another enemy is fear. And fear is a demon, a demonic spirit. You know, when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him and they became demons. They're real. They interact with us every day. And we have to understand that this is a spiritual warfare. It's not just what you see in the flesh. But sometimes when that hammer hits you or you get cut by something you feel the pain, and so you want to lash out at the person or the thing that is attacking you. But I'm telling you, you have to recognize the enemy and who it is that's attacking you and fight it in a spiritual realm. But fear will literally stop you from progressing. So if you have a lot of fear issues, then I would suggest you take John 10:10. It's great for that. And get rid of that. Like, just because you've lived with fear your whole life doesn't mean you have to keep it. I mean, you have to keep it if you want to keep it. I can't get it out of you if you don't want to let it go. But I'm telling you, there's freedom, and you don't have to be fearful of things that happen, and it will stop the destiny that God has for you. Another enemy that you have to think about is another demonic spirit. It's called doubt. It makes us doubt the Bible. Is the Bible true? It makes us doubt, does God really love us? Doubt, when you go down, it's a slippery slope. And once you start doubting, you'll find yourself, it's like a web, it just grows. You know what I mean? Oh, maybe this is not real, and maybe this is not real. And get off the internet, because, I mean, like, who is AI that they can tell us what the Word of God says? If you go to AI or you trust the phone to tell you what the Word of God says, then you're in the wrong place. You need to go to it yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you what it says. That wasn't in my notes. Another enemy is why. The why question. Why did this happen to me? Sometimes we're a victim when our life shatters. We didn't have anything to do with it. We just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we become a victim of circumstances. And we say, why? What did we do? Why? Why? I meant Bob's dad died, I remember saying, why? Or could I have changed something, Lord, if I had just gotten there earlier? All these questions that we have. I'm going to tell you, I don't know why. Sometimes we may never know why until we get to heaven. But we don't have to answer the question why. We just have to know the one that knows. And that's God. God knows why. And he knows why he's allowed it to happen. And he is going to take it somehow when it seems like there's no way he could work this together for good. Let me just tell you, he can. And so we just have to trust him. Guilt is another one. Guilt is one of those that makes you feel responsible for what happened. Like you could have changed the outcome. And that's a liar. It's another spirit. All these spirits, that's why I'm saying it is a spiritual attack, and you need to begin to fight it in the spirit realm through, let me not get ahead of myself. Another one is isolation. This is the enemy's, one of his favorite tactics is to get us alone, get us offended, get us mad at God, get us mad at somebody whoever did something to us, and then isolate us. Get us away out of community. There's a reason why we have church and we come and meet in the building. Because we need community. We need each other. We need each other to encourage each other, to speak into our lives, and to speak truth to us when we can't hear it ourselves. Amen. And those times of shattering are the times that we really need others in our lives. And maybe you don't feel like going to church, but you've got to have somebody that you can talk to and share with that you know will speak truth to you and not just what you want to hear. It doesn't do us any good to just hear what we want to hear. A lot of times that's what we do, is we go and we look for people that will empathize and just tell us what we want to hear. Now, there are times when you should just keep your mouth shut and listen. That's always hard for me to do, but I'm getting better at it. Like, I just hear God say, just listen. Just shut up and be quiet. Just listen and then point them in the right direction. If you see them going off a cliff, point them back to safety. But you don't have to tell them everything. But we don't need to be isolated. So look up, identify your enemy. Number three is get up. Okay, because when we're in a shattered state, most of the time, we just had our feet kicked out from underneath us. We are on the ground. We are thinking there's no way to get up. What do I do? I don't want to do anything. How many can relate? Like when you've been in those broken states, you just feel like, because hopelessness sets in, all kinds of things. Well, I'm going to tell you, the first key to getting up is forgive. I know that's hard, especially if you've been a victim and you didn't do anything and you still have to forgive. No matter how hard it seems, forgiveness is the key to getting up and unstuck. It's the key to your relationship with God. Matthew 6:15 says, "But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." So if for no other reason, I know that I sin every day. I mean, you know, come on, church. If we get really real, we tell a little story and it's not quite the right, it happened. We just twist a little things. Isn't that the way the devil does? He just takes our truth and twists it just a little bit. So, I mean, when we go throughout a day, we've either judged somebody or something. I mean, you know, we sin, right? So we need God to hear us and forgive us. And so all you're doing when you cut the cords of unforgiveness, all you're doing is letting them off of you, off of like you being responsible. I'm not going to forgive them because of what they did to me. I'm not going to do it. All you're doing is hurting yourself. It's all you're doing. You think you're hurting them. They may not even know you're mad at them. They may not even care. And you think, they don't deserve forgiveness. But neither do you. Truth is, neither do you. But Jesus still forgave. In fact, you know, you and I are part of the reason Jesus was nailed to the cross. And what was his words at the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we have to have, for no other reason than just to be obedient to what God says, if you want to get up off the floor, if you want to get unstuck, then you have to forgive. And it doesn't matter how many times they've hurt you, how many times they've come back and hit the hammer at you, it doesn't matter. You still have to forgive. Because you want God to hear your prayers, you want God to forgive you, and it frees you from so much. You will just not believe how much better you feel once you forgive. And maybe you have to do it over and over and over, but you'll know when it's real. And sometimes it takes many times, but I'm just telling you, there's nothing like it. The second thing to getting up is getting the word. And sometimes that's the last thing we want to do because for whatever reason, like, I don't want to get in the, I can't, when I open up the Bible, it doesn't say anything to me. Well, let me just tell you, out of obedience, just get in the word. Because the word is life, it's truth. And if you get in and you just read one scripture and just stand on that one scripture for the day, It'll still, as you see, God will start speaking to you. I mean, this last couple of weeks since I walked through my situation, I'm not through it. I'm walking through my situation. I had gotten off. I just wasn't really getting in the Word as much as I should have. I'm just being honest. Maybe y'all don't ever go through seasons, but I do. And so I was in one of those funk seasons, you know. And so I just started like, okay, with just one scripture. Do you know every day when I open up and I get a scripture, it speaks directly to me. It's like God speaking. It's perfect. And can I just say, if you'll just do it out of obedience and open your heart to receive from God, He will speak to you through His Word. So get in the Word. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Hebrews 4, 125 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." So get in the Word. The third thing we need to do to get up is we need to pray. Prayer is powerful. And can I tell you, sometimes the best thing to do is pray for your enemies. Pray for those that have hurt you. Pray for those that have taken the hammer to you. Pray for them. Take them off, forgive them, put them on God, lift them up to God and say, "God, hey, these are yours. I'm forgiving this situation. You're just going to have to take the hurt out of my heart." And then you start praying for them. It's hard to stay mad at somebody that you pray for. I don't mean that you have to be their best friend, but pray for them and see what happens. And sometimes you're like, "I don't want to pray," because sometimes the person that you need to forgive is God. Sometimes the person that you need to forgive is yourself. Those are powerful forgiveness prayers. And you will not move forward as long as you're mad at God and you think God did this to you on purpose. And let me tell you, the forces of hell will try to tell you that's exactly who did it. And I'm just saying, that's a lie. But he is the master deceiver, the father of lies. That's who Satan is. So we got to pray. We got to put on the full armor of God and pray without ceasing. Pray for your enemies. If it makes it easier to forgive those who have hurt you, if they become at the top of your prayer list. Okay, Ephesians, if you've been at this church very long, you've heard about the armor of God. But I want to read it this morning. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, it says, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil." Not some, but all of them. "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood and enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in a time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness, the shoes of peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet, because we want to cover our thoughts. Those thoughts that come in, you know, the Bible says, take every thought captive. Those thoughts that shoot through your mind, you need to put on the helmet of salvation to shield you from that. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit always and on every occasion, not just sometimes, but always. It says, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So we got to, everybody, look up. Participation. Look up. What's two? Identify the enemy. And three is get up. Get up. Okay? Now, there's four things I'm going to tell you this morning. This is the fourth one. It's called get moving. Okay? One step at a time. One foot in front of the other. But once you get up, you got to get moving. Ivan Tate was this pastor that came to Shoreline one time. He was so funny. I still remember his sermon. I think I heard him preach too, and I still remember both of them because he always had came with something that made you remember. And so one day he just walked around the podium area going, "Have you ever seen a vulture eating a moving cow?" And he would just keep saying it. "Have you ever seen a vulture eating a moving cow? Have you ever seen a vulture eating a moving cow?" And I was thinking, what the heck is he going with this? Where's he going with this? Have you ever seen a vulture eating a moving cow? No, because they eat dead things. I just had, after that shattering that happened, the initial shattering that happened in my life recently, there was 10 buzzards out by my pond. I was like, oh, no, you don't. You can sit out there, but I ain't dead. I'm getting up. So I want you to remember that you've got to get up, because if you don't get up, you're going to just stay. And the longer you stay, you wallow around in this, the broken pieces. What is that going to do to us? If we wallow around in our brokenness, in our broken state, we're going to get cut over and over again, deeper and deeper the longer we stay there. But I'm going to tell you something. God will never make you get up. But I'm sharing this today because the difference in getting up will change your life. I didn't say it's easy. I never said it was easy. It's not easy, but it is better. And once you get up and start moving, God is still with you the entire time, and he will help you one step at a time. So we got to get moving. And I want to tell you, part of moving when you've been shattered is a grieving process. Okay, there is a grieving process. We have emotions. We have emotions, and we have to grieve through things like hopelessness and guilt, depression, anger, fear. There's all kinds. I can't name all the different emotions that we have. But I do want to say that everyone grieves different. So if you've walked through a shattering time, and maybe it's you and your spouse. Maybe you've lost a child. That's the worst thing I can think of. Like, suddenly. That's shattering. And you both respond different. You get up and you both respond different. Don't judge this one for how they respond. And don't judge this one, because we all grieve differently. And so allow people to grieve. We have to, that's a process that we have to get through. No matter how you grieve, you need to start the process. Okay? Maybe you need to go talk to somebody because maybe you can't talk to the person, or maybe you're just, the shattering's just you by yourself and you need to go talk to somebody. I'm not saying it's not healthy to go talk to somebody, but get somebody with godly counsel that'll point you in the right direction, not just give you a bunch of drugs to, you know, fix the surface problem, but to deal with the heart issues, okay? So go get some help, but don't stay stuck. Maybe you're dealing with anger. I'm just going to say right now, this has helped me so much. I love it. Go break some pottery. If you've got some anger going on, just go find you some stuff and just break it. It'll make you feel so much better. I don't know. It's just like, boom. And you just think about the enemy and what he's doing. And just, I mean, don't break people, okay? See, that's what happens with a lot of us. Hurting people hurt people. So if you're walking around like this that I showed you, if you're walking around like this and you're bumping into people because you never get up and you don't allow God to heal you the right way, and you're bumping into people, you just hurt people. People you love, people that you love, you will end up hurting because you're broken and you need God to help you get unstuck. So, like I said, if you're angry, go out and break some. Just don't break people. Don't break things. Break some. Go. Hey, I got it at the Dollar Tree. It's $1.25. Just go throw you some plates. It'll be healthy. I'm serious. Just put it in a place where you can clean it up real nice, right? And throw it in the trash. The good thing about God, he doesn't throw our brokenness in the trash. He uses all of it for his glory. Amen? Praise music. This is another way. Praise and worship is another way. Even when you don't feel like it, turn it on. That's the first thing I did. Was I was like, no more country music. I don't care. I mean, I would play both, you know. And I was like, okay, no more country music. All I'm feeding my spirit with is Christian. And God will speak to you so much through songs. He does me, at least. I mean, and it just, even when your spirit is down, your soul is downcast, if you will put on praise music, if someone's sick, if you will put on praise music in their hospital room, if you just turn it on, it's feeding your spirit the right things. And so I believe to keep walking that you've got to feed your spirit with God things. And praise and worship, it does warfare. That's what it's for. Worship is warfare. And so when we're fighting a battle in the spirit realm against principalities and demonic forces, then what better than to put on praise music in your home and in your car and just go, uh-uh, devil, like I've drawn the line here. You know that song that Jacqueline sang and they sang this morning? You draw a permanent boundary line, devil. You can't have my family. And you start standing on the Word of God and what the Word of God says. And that when they're old, they will not depart for those prodigal children that we have out there and those that we know that are prodigal and have turned their back on God or are walking away from God right now. Just call them home in the name of Jesus. Start calling things the way you want to see it end up, which is God's way. Amen? And trust Him. He knows the timing and He has the process. So praise music, that's our warfare. Another thing, this really is one of my favorites. I call it a God wink. It's when God sees you in your hurt and your pain, and he just winks at you. Now let me explain that. Bob goes, a God wink? And I go, yes. It's almost like a God kiss, you know? Like, he sees you at your lowest point, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Shannon, who leads us in worship, right when all hell was breaking loose against me, she sent me this song and goes, hey, I don't know when we can use this, but listen to this song. So I clicked on it, and it was called Get Behind Me. I mean, it's a powerful song, and it just basically tells the devil, get behind me. I am not. Y'all just look it up. It's a really good song, especially if you're walking through some spiritual warfare and you need to warfare. Man, it just encourages me. But it was perfect timing, and I knew God knew I needed it, right? And it was like immediately when I needed it. That's a God wink. And he uses, the thing about all of this is the devil uses people. God uses people as well. And sometimes the devil uses those that are the closest to us, because when they shatter us, it breaks us worse than any stranger could do. You know, when they're really close to you, it's just like, it just hurts so bad, like Judas. But we got to still love them and separate the person that we love from the attack that's coming at us. Does that make sense? So if we start recognizing that it's the enemy and not the people, then we're going to be so much healthier. So another God wink. My daughter, she was recently, she had a little bit of shattering stuff too, and she went to get in her car, and God had put a hat in her car. Just like that. And it said, Jesus is King. Jesus is King was the exact word she needed right then. That's a God wink. So if you look for him, you'll be like, oh, wow, God's speaking to me. He's hearing me. He sees me. He knows me. Those are God winks. Rainbows in the sky, it reminds you of God's promise. promises. So, four ways to get in agreement with God's is, okay, everybody? One, louder, look up. Two, three, what's four? Get moving. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, what is God speaking to you through this message? Have you heard the Holy Spirit say to you that you are in a shattered state like the plate on the floor? Trying to fix it your way, and it's time to look up and get in agreement with God. Or maybe you've looked up, you know God's with you, you've looked up, but you begin to play the blame game. You're trying to find somebody that's responsible. You're trying to blame somebody. And it's time to identify the real enemy. And this morning, maybe this message helped you identify who the enemy is, that you've been looking at the wrong person. Or maybe you're at stage three where you need to get up. Like, you already realize what the enemy is. You've already looked up. You know God is with you and he's going to be with you. But you just don't think you have the strength to get up. I had a neighbor who lost a child when I was a kid growing up. They lived next door. She had two kids. And one of the oldest daughter died in a tragic car accident. And I watched that mom as I was probably a teenager. And I watched that mom just fall apart. She still had another daughter, and she couldn't even function. For years and years, I don't know if she ever, they finally moved. Her husband had to get up, and he had to become dad and mom because this woman never could get past the daughter that she lost. But there was another daughter there that needed her just as bad. That was still there. And my heart just always broke for that woman because she was stuck. And God doesn't want us stuck. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave is living in you and ready to help you get up today. You just got to trust him. Sometimes it's a trust issue. We've lost our trust because of what's happened. The first step is trusting him again to get up. Or maybe you just need to get moving. You feel like you're standing on your feet. You're doing everything you can to stand, but you need to get moving. One foot in front of the other. I would suggest memorize that little saying. Have you ever seen a vulture eating a moving cow? And that will help remind you that you got to get moving. And just pray and ask God to help you. And start doing the things that you know will help you start moving. Or maybe you're here today and you have never asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. So you're like, yeah, I can relate to this shattered thing, but I've never really made Jesus Lord and Savior. Well, today's the day. Today's your opportunity to do that. As the lights kind of lower in the band, worship team want to come up. As they go into this next song, it's called More Than Able. God is more than able to fix wherever you are. But let's all stand and worship. And wherever you are, I just want to pray over you right now. Father God, I thank you for each one of these steps. Father God, I thank you that each one of us may be in a different place. But Father God, we've all had times of shattering. And Lord, I pray right now, you are more than able. You are more than able to reach across that TV screen or that monitor on the phone. And Lord, touch each and every person that's watching this video. Lord, you are more than able. Lord, we just have to look up. If you have never asked Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. And if you're in the house with me, have you already done that as a rededication? Let's just say it together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus, you are the Son of God, that you died on a cross and you were raised from the dead and you defeated hell because you love me. And I want to make you today my Lord and my Savior forever. I want to follow you. I give you my heart. And I trust you to lead me, to guide me. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Now, Father God, I ask you to touch each and every heart. You are more than able to get us to look up at you, to fix our eyes and our gaze on you. Lord, you are more than enough to show us who our real enemy is. Father God, you are glorified as we get up and trust you again, Father God, and Lord, that you're going to help us get moving. Lord, we don't want to be stuck. We don't want to wallow around in the hurt and the pain. We want to get free. So by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning, I ask you to touch each and every person that needs healing in their heart, Lord, deliverance in their body, Father God, and to whatever they have need of, Lord, right now, let it happen. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen and amen.